Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
He and I both worked at KDKA Television. However, we were separated by a few years. Ron Olson went on from KDK and ultimately ended out in Los Angeles for some time. And one of the stories he covered there was the trial of O.J. Simpson. And Ron is kind enough to join us today from his home in Maryland. Ron, thank you very much for being on the other KDKA in Pittsburgh.
Oh, happy to do it. How are things in the burg?
Very, very wet, very rainy, and I would imagine Maryland is probably going to get what we're getting right about now in about 3 hours.
It usually works that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Weather still goes from west to east most of the time. When you first heard about the story of O.J. Simpson's ex-wife and a friend being found outside her condo, what was the response in the newsroom? Do you remember that part of the story?
Yeah, I remember it really well. I wasn't in the newsroom. I was in a news van, and we were driving down to Orange County, my cameraman Bill Knight and I, and this was before cell phones came on the scene.
Right.
So we had if you had a cell phone, it was attached to the inside of the car, which is what we had. And our assignment editor called me, and she said to give me a call back. I've got something I want to talk to you about. So I called her on this, what was then, you know, high-tech cell phone. And she said, I just got a call from someone who was related to Nicole Brown Simpson. And they told me that Nicole was murdered. And do you think we should go cover that? And after I regained my senses from how stupid the question was, I said, yeah, we need to cover that right now. What's the address? So she gave me the address. We drove over and to Bundy and the murder scene. And I was the first reporter at the murder scene. There was a cameraman from CBS. Carl Stein was there ahead of us. But Bill and I rolled in right behind Carl. And that's how we got there. And we saw it. The bodies hadn't been covered yet. And it was a mess.
Do you have any idea how many days during your career you covered the O.J. Simpson story, particularly the murder trial portion of it? Do you have any idea? Have you ever kept track of that? Have you ever gone back and logged it and looked at it?
Well, it was about 11 months, I believe, from beginning to end. The murder, you had the murder trial, and then you had depositions leading up to the civil trial.
Right.
In Santa Monica. So you had the criminal case in L.A., you had the depositions, then you had the civil trial in Santa Monica. All told, for those of us who covered the linear A to Z, it took up almost 3 years of our lives.
When did you realize what a huge impact this was going to have on the nation? When did it finally hit you, Ron? I mean, when you're in it sometimes and covering these things, you're just thinking about doing your job and making your deadlines and getting the best story out there that's better than the guy to your left or the woman to your right. I understand that. But when did it hit you? Wait a second. This is all encompassing. This is not just a news story. This is an entertainment story. This is a financial story. This is a sports story. This is so much bigger than just this courtroom.
Do you remember when the white nationalists planted a bomb outside the Muir Federal Building?
Yes, I do.
And blew up blew up the Muir Federal Building. I don't recall how many people were killed in that. That was the first time that we did not lead the news that night for months.
That was in Oklahoma City, right, in 1996.
Right. Yeah. Yes, and that was, we had been leading every night until that bombing happened. And when that bombing happened, we got bumped back into second place.
Wow.
And I guess it was at that point where I went, this is huge.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And I remember we were on the 12th floor of the criminal courts building in downtown L.A., and some reporter, I don't remember which one, walked by me and looked at my monitor, and there were shots of the federal building on it, and he looked at me and he said, we'll be back.
Yeah, right.
And that was that. We were. I suppose that bombing led maybe for another night or maybe two, and then Simpson was back at the top of every newscast. There were two outlets, Court TV and us, KTLA, that were going wall-to-wall with coverage. Nobody else was. And KTLA had independent stations, cable systems all over the country. And then Sky TV picked us up and sent us over to Europe and England. So it was a big, big deal.
Did you ever have an opportunity to interview O.J. Simpson at any point during the trial or after the trial? Did you ever sit down with him, and what were your thoughts?
After the trial, first you had the criminal trial, then you had the civil trial. After the civil trial, there were financial accountability hearings for Simpson. The court was trying to figure out how much money he actually had.
Right.
How much of it could be attached, and I covered those, and when there was, you know, a break in what the court was doing, we'd go outside, and there was a railing out on the lawn, and I recall sitting there having conversations with Simpson.
Hmm.
I was on one side, and Linda Deutsch, the AP, was on the other side, and we're just talking to OJ about, you know, why... I'm still trying to let all this settle in.
30 years later, you still feel that way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I heard this morning that O.J. Simpson had died, it was, what? I kind of feel, see, to us, it was the story that was never going to end. And it's like, well, is this the end? Is it finally over? This crazy story, this thing that was never supposed to happen. Because I don't know if you remember O.J. Simpson with the Buffalo Bills, but
the juice in the electric company.
Yeah,
right.
He was Captain America.
Absolutely, Heisman Trophy winner at USC in '68, first round pick. Right. I mean, he was running through airports and jumping over chairs and things like that for his commercials for her. Yes, absolutely, I remember it.
And that first morning when we rolled up at the murder scene, and Ron and Nicole were there, it never even occurred to me that Simpson could be guilty of that.
Right.
It never even crossed my mind. This was not something O.J. Simpson would do. He was an icon. Everybody admired him. He wouldn't kill two people in cold blood. Not possible. You know, since then I've had, it's been 30 years. That doesn't seem possible to me, but questions that I had 30 years ago, I still have in my head, such as Nicole had an Akita dog. If you don't know anything about Akita,
large breed dog, right?
It's bred to defend the master. It's
right.
Bred to defend the household. I think they're bred to defend the royal family in Japan was their original breeding. These are attack dogs. And if they don't know you and if somebody's coming after you, they will defend the master. And they are dangerous. An angry Akita is a very dangerous dog. If it was a guy with a knife and an Akita, I probably would put money on the Akita. But the Akita dog, the full-grown Akita dog that Nicole had living with her in the condo, which prior to that had been living with both she and OJ over on Rockingham. That dog was found wandering the neighborhood with bloody paws, howling. The dog did nothing that I'm aware of or I heard anything about to defend Nicole.
Right.
So it follows, doesn't it, that the dog may have known who the attacker was, that if the attacker was an alpha male to the dog wouldn't have done anything. But this never came up at the trial.
How's that possible? Can you stick with us for a little bit? I feel like we've got so much more. I know you're retired, but you may also have other plans. Can you stick around for a little bit?
No, I'll be happy to.
All right, Ron, we're going to do this. We've got to get caught up here on traffic. We're going to get right back to you. We're visiting with a longtime reporter, retired from KTLA now, who covered the O.J. Simpson trial and spent literally years of his career covering things having to do with O.J. and O.J. Simpson dying of cancer at the age of 76. So,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Visiting with longtime journalist Ron Olson. He covered the O.J. Simpson trial and all the things around it for years when he worked for KTLA. Ron, one of the things that as I was thinking back to, and you and I were both in the business at the time that it was taking place, but I think back to the fact that names like Marcia Clark and Alan Dershowitz and Johnny Cochran and Al Cowlings, these became household names all across America. And I suppose, you know, a prosecutor you might have dealt with before on other stories, and now all of a sudden, Marcia Clark is in everybody's living room. Did you see a change in those people, or were they the same people that you had covered before the O.J. trial?
Okay, I knew Johnny Cochran. I had never met Marcia Clark. I didn't know anything about her. I'd never heard of her. Johnny, I knew fairly well because he'd come over to the station for interviews now and again. Marcia Clark, if I could just tell you a couple of things that I observed about Marcia Clark during the criminal trial. You know, we talked about why didn't she put evidence pertaining to the Akita dog into evidence,
which is exactly why I'm asking you that question about her right now. Yeah, I'm curious.
Well, she also, there was a lady by the name of Jill Shively. Now, Jill Shively was the only eyewitness they had. Jill Shively was driving, I think it was on, I can't remember the name of the street, but it was about a block south of the murder scene, a block away from the murder scene. And it timed out perfectly, and Jill Shively said that she saw OJ driving right at her down the street, leaving the scene of the murder. He was obviously upset and harried. He almost ran into her, she said. She had to swerve to get out of his way, and there wasn't an accident because she swerved, and Simpson kept going. That's what she said. And now she's the only eyewitness that Marcia Clark has
right
to put OJ at the scene at about the time of the murders. But Jill Shively sells her story to Hard Copy for $5,000. With that, Marcia Clark decides, no, she has no credibility left. I will not put her on the stand. So Jill Shively was not entered into the trial at all. No testimony from Jill Shively. I've never been able. I think that was a huge mistake she made. I also think she made a huge mistake. There was a a famous jury consultant in Southern California, Dr. Don Shively, and Don Vinson. And Don is paid a lot of money. I don't know if he's still in business. It's been so long, but he was paid a lot of money to help select juries, to help handpick juries for prosecutors and or for the defense.
Right.
Don Vinson offered to do his job for free. He went to the DA's office and said, look, you know, I'll do this for gratis. I'll just let me in on this case. This is really important. We've got to get this done right. Marcia Clark turned him down. I think that was probably another one of the biggest mistakes she made. I don't know if you're picking up on it or not, but I don't think that one of the things I was thinking about after you called this morning, and I was trying to digest all this stuff. I don't think that it was a question of the dream team being so great. Yeah, everybody talks about, the dream team. Johnny Cochran was a terrific attorney, a terrific lawyer. And he's like a bulldog in a courtroom.
Right.
Very, very tough attorney. But it's not that the dream team was all that great. The prosecution was just that bad. They were terrible. And in retrospect, you know, I'm retired. I guess I can open up a little bit and insert some of my opinion into it. They were awful. I recall one of my colleagues was a reporter from the Chicago Tribune, and we'd go on camera together occasionally and discuss what was happening. And her father was a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a radiologist.
Right.
And one day I recall talking to her when Marcia Clark, when they were introducing all the DNA evidence,
right.
So much DNA evidence. And I'm talking to my friend whose father's a doctor and my father's a doctor. We both went to college. We're both reasonably intelligent people. And I said, can you follow any of this? And she said, no, can you? And I said, I'm completely lost. I said, can you imagine what's happening to that poor jury?
Right, right. So, Ron, if you were to look back now, and if you were a member of the jury, how would you have found?
Oh, I thought it was going to be a hung trial. I couldn't have gone one way or another. When they went into that room all by themselves to make up their minds to vote, they had to vote on evidence beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
After the mess the prosecution made of their case, after that mess, I can tell you why I thought it was going to be a hung jury, and that's because of the limo driver, Alan Park. At the very end of the case, he's one of the last people to testify, and he's talking about how he picks up O.J. at Rockingham. O.J.'s got these bags, and he's sweating, and he's stuffing stuff into bags, and it looks like he just ran the mile relay, and he's out of breath. And then he takes O.J. to the airport, to LAX, and O.J. is seen stuffing one of these bags into a trash container out there. And I'm going, oh, wow.
There's a smoking gun, if you will.
Well, was the knife in that bag?
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are still just all these questions. There are all these questions. But I thought that, personally, I thought the prosecution, if you can follow this, met the burden of proof. Their job is to meet the burden of proof to prove someone is innocent or guilty. So they had to prove O.J. was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
I think they did that, but I think they did it in such a way that was so confusing, so mashed up with so much DNA, and it's like they're throwing spaghetti on a wall, and they're trying to trace the spaghetti strands, and they expect these poor, the jurors were starstruck with O.J. Simpson to begin with, and then they were sequestered in a hotel
trying
for
to
months.
Figure it all out on their own. Right.
Yeah. It's they were, by the end of that trial, they had to have been absolutely just let me out of here.
Ron Olson joining us here on KDKA with his recollections of covering what was the trial of the century and maybe two or three or four, the O.J. Simpson trial. Ron, thank you for being here.
You're very welcome. Good
truly,
talking to you.
Truly enjoyed it. Ron used to be at KDKA, went on to KTLA, and obviously covered a really big story for a really long time.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.